Hello, everybody. Welcome to a mysterious episode of the Creative Differences Podcast. I'm Dallas, and I just found out Demi might be planning to kill me.
So that really makes it a potentially deadly episode of the Creative Differences Podcast.
Yeah, which works for the movie that we're talking about. I am the titular dead man.
Jesus Christ.
That has to do with the movie, too. We're on theme.
Yeah, what the fuck? I'm Cassie, and I'm remembering what happiness feels like. It's nice.
Oh, love that.
I love that for you. And I'm Demi, and guys, it is officially Christmas time. Welcome to another episode, and potentially the last episode of 2025, of the Creative Differences Podcast, your one-stop shop for movie reviews, Fancast Fridays, Throwback Thursdays, and a number of other pop culture-related items. Today, we are reviewing Wake Up Dead Man.
Is it like Wake Up Dead Man, a Knives Out mystery, or is it just Wake Up Dead Man?
It does have the subtitle. However, I know that Ryan Johnson hates the subtitle, so I will not be using it.
Oh, that wasn't his choice.
No.
No, that was a Netflix thing for branding and marketing.
Okay.
Netflix does it again.
We don't talk about that.
We don't need to talk about that today.
Gabby is not here. But at this point, if you expected Gabby to be here, you should know better, audience. What are you doing? Yeah. Before we get into it, please like and share and subscribe and hit buttons and send it to people and tell people about it. Hit the streets. Do all those things because, you know.
Because we're broke.
We're broke. It's holiday season and
money
we're broke.
To hire bodyguards.
Yes. I need to protect myself from my friends.
Forget that. I need money to buy people gifts. What are we doing out here?
Yeah, forget my
safety. That seems a little less important, but okay.
Forget my life.
Hey, you're just getting them for me. Whatever.
All right. Speaking of murder, let's talk about Wake Up Dead Man.
Sounds like a plan.
It is written and directed by Rian Johnson. You know Rian Johnson, who made Brick, The Brothers Bloom, Looper, Last Jedi, the Knives Out movies. Here we are, a Knives Out movie. And this movie stars Daniel Craig, Josh O'Connor, Glenn Close, Josh Brolin, Mila Kunis, Jeremy Renner, Kerry Washington, Andrew Scott, Kaylee Spaney, Daryl McCormick, and Thomas Hayden Church. IMDb summary says Benoit Blanc returns for his most dangerous case yet. They didn't want us to know anything, and I respect that.
They wanted it to be a mystery for real.
Exactly. Yeah. I like it. The Knives Out movies are undefeated. They're 3-0. They don't make bad ones. I'm with it.
I'm going to add to that and say, for me, Rian Johnson don't miss at all. I have never seen a Rian Johnson movie that I did not love, because apparently, according to Letterboxd, every movie I've seen from him has a 4.5 stars from me. So
nice. Love that for you.
Right.
Yeah. And I think there's only one feature film of his that I haven't seen, which is The Brothers Bloom. So
same. That's the one I have not seen.
Yeah. So now I'm like, dang, I got to watch it so I can complete the streak. Yeah. I love this movie. I thought it was great. It's a Knives Out movie. I had high hopes and they met them.
They tend to do that. So the audience knows why Cassie might be quiet. Cassie, did you see the movie?
No.
All right. That explains why Cassie will be quiet. I like it. I like it a whole lot. I'm going to say it is a testament to how much I like these movies that this is definitely my least favorite of them, but it's still probably going to be in my top 10 movies of the year because it's really good. It's just that the first two are so good to me. Hmm. And it's not even really a matter of like, this one takes a dip in quality. It's just, I enjoyed those two more for certain reasons that I will get into.
I can never rank these movies as to which one's my favorite. Because I think that they all do things so differently that I'm just like, I can't tell you which one I enjoy more. We keep changing the style. We keep changing the structure. Mm-hmm. We keep changing up the way that we do these mysteries. And so it really feels more like what day is it? Which one do I feel like? Do I want the family mystery drama? Do I want the rich people mystery drama? Or do I want the church mystery drama?
Right.
They're just different in this one especially is like the most different from the first two movies.
Ooh, okay.
Definitely. And I think that's why part of the reason why I was able to say that I know this is my least favorite is because when I came out of Glass Onion, I struggled with, oh man, which one do I like more? And I came out of this one not having that same struggle. I'm like, okay, cool. So I know this isn't my favorite, but like I said, they're all great. And I think, so there's a trade-off here. On one hand, the supporting cast, or like the group of suspects, this is my least favorite group. I feel like they're the least fun out of the three movies.
Okay.
But Judd, Josh O'Connor, is my favorite Benoit Blanc sidekick so far. Like, he is one of my favorite characters He's so great.
He's one of my favorite all-time characters in all of Knives Out, like, same, in all of these movies. He's fantastic. Such a great character. I love him so bad. I aspire to be that type of Christian. He is so good. He's a good man, Savannah.
I was hoping you would say that.
Yeah. I also really love Josh O'Connor's performance as Judd.
Mm-hmm.
He embodies, like, the gentleness of this guy, but also it's very clear that, like, he might be gentle, but he will knock you out. There is a hard, rougher side to him that he is trying to keep under control.
Yeah.
And that he's very passionate, despite the fact that he is also very gentle and just a very good person.
And I love that they established, like, yo, he got hands, he's from the streets, he has a past, but he is trying so hard to just be loving. And he gets put to the test a lot, and he passes that test more often than not. And it's just, what a lovable character.
Yeah, because Josh Brolin's a villain.
Josh Brolin, the other Josh in the movie. He's so evil. And I think having these two characters, I'm going to say something that I know I've said when we talked about Midnight Mass on this podcast, that I like where we are now, because sometimes you'll get movies that are made about Christians, by Christians, for Christians. And a lot of times that's going to be something that has like Zachary Levi or Dennis Quaid, and it's going to suck. On the other side, you'll get something that's made about Christians by atheists,
by people
for
who
atheists,
don't like them.
And they're like, Christians are bad and they're evil and they're hypocritical and look at all these bad things. And then you have something like this, where I don't know Rian Johnson's personal life and belief system, but you have a representation of people like Glenn Close and Josh Brolin, who are those bad type of Christians. But then you have a big focus on someone like Josh O'Connor, who is, we should love people. We're here not to fight the world. We're here to heal it and to love it. And it's like, yes, bars. Talk to them, Josh. Talk to these niggas.
And you get people like Benoit Blanc, who's a big atheist, and it's like, nah, I don't really want to be here. But I'm willing to, like, listen to hear you out.
Exactly. Like, I have my opinions, but you seem like a good dude. I'm not going to just, like, stomp all over your beliefs because I know you believe it and it means something to you. And then you have everybody else.
Yeah. I think what I love about Rian Johnson's movies is that he's just a really good, in my opinion, at, like, doing character work. So, like, all of these Knives Out movies are such big ensemble pieces, and we always have, like, this big group of characters, and all of them are pretty distinct, but they fit within whatever the thematic realm is that Rian Johnson is trying to tackle. So, you know, the first movie we had, like, these rich, white, somewhat liberal, somewhat conservative, like, mixture of, like, family, right? And then you've got the second movie, which is just, here's a bunch of really wealthy people. Like, here's the elite. And then this one is about cultish behavior.
Yeah.
It's very much about almost like identity politics. It's like, this is the identity that we have chosen to take up. And no matter what you do, cognitive dissonance will kick in. We're going to support this guy because this is the guy. There were several moments where I heard the theater laugh because Josh Brolin is basically saying the most Trumpish things you could possibly hear a person say, but saying it as like a preacher. Ooh. And I think Rian Johnson just does it. He always says it in such a great way of like, this is the subject that I'm talking about. And here is how I tell that message through all these characters and just who they are as people. And I think he always does that very, very well.
Yes. And I feel like, while I say that for me, the weakness of the movie being that the list of other characters aren't as fun is traded off by the fact that Josh Brolin is such a character, because as far as like Knives Out villains go, he is a villain. And it adds to this level of the movie feeling different. Like you said, he does them differently every time. This one, when we get the big Benoit Blanc is breaking down, like, the reveal of how this happened and da-da-da-da-da. This one feels a lot more serious when we're actually getting the information.
It's also, instead of being, like, I think most murder mysteries, when we get to this point of the mystery, it's the, you know, you're saying it's the big reveal moment. It's always a big plot moment. It's where we finally tell the audience the twist. Here's what happened. Here's what you've been watching this whole time. In this movie, it's not so much that as it is a character moment for Benoit Blanc.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, I didn't know Benoit was going to get art.
Yeah, which is really, really cool. I also really like that, and we were talking about this after the movie, I brought up the fact that I feel like as a trilogy, despite the fact that these movies are all very different, which is why Rian Johnson didn't want to call them like a Knives Out mystery, because they are each their own film that just also happened to be, to to star Benoit Blanc. Honestly, right. They should have been like a Benoit Blanc mystery instead of a Knives Out mystery.
Mm.
But thematically, this one fits in. It might feel very different from the other ones, but thematically, I feel like it ties in with the other two movies where Ryan has been talking about, like, you know, the rich and talking about politics, and has now been now we've got like another movie that's somewhat about politics and cultish behavior and stuff like that. Like, these all go together. If you watch them back to back to back, thematically they fit together, even if story wise the only connection is Benoit Blanc.
Yeah, and I do like that. Going back to his arc, we kind of get in the second one when it starts, he's, you know, he got nothing to do. He can't really, he's kind of spiraling because he's like, I need a case. I need this. I need that. And this one also dives into, right. And this one also dives into why he's doing this. And he kind of has this, like, you know, I'm fighting crime. I'm solving, I'm getting justice. And Judge Joshua Connor's character is like, you're doing this for you. Like, you feel the need to do this for yourself. And that's your priority, is you want to play the game. You want to make it a big thing. Like, these are people's lives and I'm not here for that. Even if it makes me look a certain way or come off like a suspect, I'm not here to play your game. I'm here to actually help these people. And I'm like, Judd is my guy. And I love Josh O'Connor.
Judd is that dude.
Now I can say that I am a Josh O'Connor fan because I didn't see the movie where he tag teams Zendaya or whatever. I didn't see Challengers. I don't know what happened.
No.
But everyone came out like, oh, Josh O'Connor's great. And I'm like,
he's
cool,
a very good
know.
Actor. I did enjoy him in Challengers. Also, he did the BBC version of Les Mis, which was also very good. I enjoyed him in that.
He be singing?
No, this was not a musical. This was literally just a dramatic adaptation of the novel, not of the musical.
Got it.
Can I ask a very, very minor spoiler, and we can cut it if we need to?
Sure.
Sure.
Is Hugh Grant in this movie?
No, he is not.
No.
Okay.
This is my favorite looking of the Knives Out movies.
Okay.
Which is crazy because, like, again, I think all of them look very different. The first Knives Out movie feels like gloomy, but also very fall, very cozy in a certain way. It feels very much like a Thanksgiving movie. Yeah. Glass Onion is very, like, you know, it's about billionaires. So it's like sleek and clean. And, and like, there's something kind of James Bondy about it, which
and
is really funny.
Summery as well.
Craig. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because they're on a beach, they're on an island. This one, I loved the lighting and like the cloudiness, the gloominess, like something is hanging over this town, something dark, but like Judd's faith and his belief in like people, like it brightens up the place. It makes the sun shine.
Literally.
Like, gosh, literally. Steve Yedlin is one of my favorite cinematographers, and it is because of the work that he does with Rian Johnson. The things that they do together. I still say that a lot of people think Rogue One is the best looking Star Wars movie. For me, The Last Jedi is the best looking Star Wars movie that's ever been made.
Okay.
Just Steve Yedlin's work is incredible. He also has a website where he talks a lot about like the technical aspects of cinematography and stuff like that. I've read some of the work that he's done, and just he's so impressive. So like, I will forever just be interested in watching his work with Rian Johnson, and the fact that he's able to create three very distinct looks for these for each of these movies is incredible to me. And I love when the cinematographer can, or and when filmmakers in general can just adapt based off of whatever story that they're telling, because I think that's like important. But yeah, Steve Yedlin, he's that dude. Also, he's the one who created the film grain look that they put over Knives Out, because that's not actual film grain; it's a digital effect that they put over the film. Steve Yedlin, that's that dude. him and Greg Fraser are like two of my all-time favorite cinematographers of right now.
Shout out Big Steve.
Yep. The lighting in this movie is impeccable. That is that's one of the main reasons why it looks so different from the rest of the Knives Out movies, is the lighting itself.
Yeah, they do a lot with that. I respect it.
I do too.
Oh, also, the movie's super funny, as you would expect from a Knives Out movie. It's darker,
it's more dramatic than
the other. Yeah, but still, when they're doing the jokes, they do them super well. And they switch gears really well. Like, there's a scene where Judd is talking to a woman on the phone, and the scene is very funny until she asked him to pray for her. He's a priest.
Oh.
And it's like the movie, Judd, the woman, the audience, everyone starts to take it seriously at that moment where it switches, and it switches so well.
That's impressive.
Like, oh, right. This movie is serious sometimes. And it's a really good scene.
But also, there is a Star Wars joke in here that had me dying because I was like, this feels layered.
That was a good one. That was a good joke.
I was like, Ryan, you can't write Star Wars jokes. You directed a Star Wars movie. You directed a Star Wars.
Also, if anyone was worried, I would say Glenn Close does not say the phrase nappy pussy in this movie. So we're safe.
I had forgotten You're all safe. About that until you brought it up, and now I'm disappointed. You shouldn't have.
Sorry. Played. I'm sorry.
Damn it.
I wanted to put everybody at ease.
But also, yeah, the whole cast is really good, though. I am a huge fan of Kerry Washington, personally, and I really liked the storyline that her character goes through.
Mm-hmm.
I've also seen Kaylee Spaney in things that I've been impressed with, and I really liked her character as well in this movie. It was funny, at one point during the movie, I was like, oh, you're the Thomas of the disciples, aren't you? That is kind of what they're like. Like this cast of characters are almost like Josh Brolin's disciples.
Interesting.
And Kaylee Spaney has a very Thomas sort of, for those who don't know the story, Thomas is the only one of the disciples who asked Jesus if he could touch and see his scars in order to believe that he came back from resurrecting.
Yeah, he's like, I'm gonna need to see some proof, bro. I'm talking that talk, but let me see that. Where the hands at? He didn't say it like that, presumably.
He's wasn't there. Walking out the cave, not enough?
Well, because nobody saw Jesus come out of the cave.
Oh, okay.
So Thomas is like, what do you mean he came back? What are we talking about? Nah, I'm not believing none of this until I see them scars and touch them myself.
Yeah, like, bro, they had him up there. It was bad. I don't know if he came back. Again, not the dialogue.
I love Black interpretations of the Bible. They're
my favorite. Black interpretations of everything are my favorite.
All right, that's our review of Wake Up Dead Man. It's a very, very good movie. It will be out on Netflix this week. Sorry to all the people that I misinformed saying that it was coming out last week. My bad. Maybe I was just super excited about it hitting Netflix.
Feel that?
Netflix, stop making it hard to see movies in theaters. You know.
If you thought you it was hard before.
You know Netflix.
If you don't see it on Thursday night at 8:21 p.m. exactly, you ain't never seen it.
In Santa Monica specifically.
Netflix.
It was too hard to find a theater out where we live to go watch Knives Out, which is crazy because we live in the LA area.
Yeah, there should be no, you should not have any difficulty.
And yet,
I would say fortunately we did luck out on the one being close to us, but outside of that, it would have been like, go to freaking Hollywood.
Really? That's wild.
It was extremely difficult for us to find a time to go see it, though. That was what became the problem. We couldn't
schedule. Popular movie series. This isn't like some small indie movie no one's ever heard of.
Yeah, it's popping.
It's in like 100 less theaters than Glass Onion was.
What? That's silly.
So yeah, that's our review. Well, we don't have a 10-minute take. So, hey.
Thanks a lot, Cassie.
Listen.
So instead of talking about things that we have seen in the past, what are you guys looking forward to that's coming out in the future based off of news that we've received recently?
So I'm hearing about a lot of things that nothing is making me like, oh, snap, I can't wait for that. But there's a lot of little things that I'm like, I'm kind of into that. Like we got... They're trying to make another Men in Black. Maybe Will is coming back. My excitement depends on if Will is coming back.
Fair.
Yeah. We're getting another Power Rangers. Love me some Power
Rangers. We've known about that for a while, and we have talked about that on this podcast.
But like...
Like they said something and then exactly didn't say anything else.
Who's developing it? We know it's a series. We know it's on Disney+.
We did know who was developing it. That was the original news in the first place that we were talking about.
I think you're overestimating me memorizing people's names in articles.
I'm not saying that you should memorize them. I'm just saying that we have discussed it. It has been a thing that has come up, which is why I'm like, so no new news on that. Got it. Cool.
Well, if they're making an article saying that these two people confirmed this thing, then I'm going to call it new because it just happened. Anyway, Power Rangers. I don't know who's going to be in it. I don't know what it's going to be like. I'm hoping that it's good.
How many times do you think they'll say Krispy Kreme?
None.
Hopefully a lot. I love me some Krispy Kreme, but also, yeah, probably none.
It's going to be Dunkin' this time. Mixing up.
I know how I feel about that. But yeah, there's not a whole lot going on for me.
Sure.
Cassie?
So this is, technically, there was a new trailer for Night of the Seven Kingdoms. I haven't watched that trailer because I don't need to because I know I'm going to watch this show and I know it's going to be great because those books are great. Or that book, I guess. But that comes out in January and I'm really excited about it. It's just a nice... It probably won't have any like rape or sexual violence or just, it's going to be nicer, I think, in the Game of Thrones world. And I'm very excited for something a little bit lower key. just watch this dude and this child who is kind of mysterious just wander around and do stuff.
It does look really good. I also have not watched the most recent trailer, but the first trailer was enough for me to be like, this looks great and looks like the most wholesome thing I've ever seen in Game of Thrones.
It is. It's really, having read that book, it's much lower stakes. It's much more personal. It's much lower stakes. And it's just not as upsetting.
We love that.
That's fair. Game of Thrones can get pretty upsetting. Speaking of Game of Thrones, Millie Alcock, who is one of the stars from the first season of House of the Dragon, is starring as Supergirl. And right before we started recording this podcast, James Gunn has announced that the Supergirl trailer will be coming out this week. I am super stoked. This podcast will be out before the trailer comes out, so you guys probably won't get to hear me talk about this trailer until the beginning of 2026. But just know that I am very excited about this trailer. I'm very excited about this movie.
It'll give you more fuel for your most anticipated.
It will, and I'm so happy about it. That's why I'm like, you guys are going to hear me talk about it at the beginning of the year. It's going to be great. You guys will hear probably all the thoughts that I have because I won't have been able to have talked about it before, unless for some reason we somehow plan another review before then. But this movie is supposed to be based off of one of my all-time favorite comics that I have ever read, just out of any comics, period. Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow. It's a fantastic comic. I've talked about it a lot before on this podcast. If you haven't read it, I highly recommend it. Because it really is just that good. The art is incredible. The writing is incredible. And I'm really glad that this is the take on Supergirl that they're going down. Because, man, it's so, so good. I mean, I doubt it'll be like a word for word adaptation. I know it won't be because Lobo is in it. And Lobo is not in the comics, even though the writer of the comic has said that Lobo was originally in his pitch for the actual comic. Okay. That ended up not happening in the final. But again, like I said, highly recommend Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow. Highly excited for the Supergirl movie. And I can't wait to talk about the trailer on here, probably at the beginning of January. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting more trailers for things that might be on that list for me. Because I don't think we have a lot from my list so far.
Usually I've got like 5 honorable mentions. I think this year I only got like 2.
No, I have a lot of things on my list, but we don't have a lot of trailers for those movies, I don't think.
You know what? Same, but I feel like that's kind of how most anticipated goes. It's kind of like us choosing, like, what's the biggest movies that are coming out next year? Which one are we most excited for? Or in Cassie's case, which one am I most potentially nervous, potentially scared, potentially excited about?
Right. Cassie loves fear.
I know. No, that's not true, but...
That's fair.
So far, I am looking at my most anticipated list, and I think 3 of these have trailers at the moment, 4 of them by the end of this week. No, wait, no, 5. Okay, I think I'm good. I at least got a teaser for a couple of these.
Okay.
Oh my God. Yo, we didn't cover the biggest thing we're looking forward to. January 2nd, 2026, Kids Bop Live, the concert movie.
No, we have to wait for Most Anticipated to come up. Then we'll talk about it then. Although by then it'll already be out.
Kids Bop Live. Okay. I can't wait.
It'll be wonderful, I'm sure. Kids deserve media, too.
Shout out to the kids and their media.
That's all we have Nickelodeon.
Movies and shows are made for kids.
Real.
Yeah. Shout out Lion King. I was a kid, but still, you know, you get it. We have a comment on TikTok.
Hey, we've got a couple comments on YouTube, I think.
Did we?
I think so. On some of our shorts.
I have to check into that.
Oh. Also, for those of you guys who would like to hear us talk more about that Power Rangers reboot, you guys can check out episode 301. That's where we talk about it a little bit more in depth.
That's nice. 301. That sounds recent. Which one is that?
Snow White. So, yes, it was recent. It was this year.
Okay. I was going to say, that wasn't like when we fan casted, because that was way back when. Although we do still have, this is kind of behind the scenes stuff, but we do still have part 2 that we can do for that fan cast, because we have other characters we haven't done yet.
That's true. I forgot about that.
Trying to make Rita Repulsa hot again.
I wasn't aware that was a thing.
You got to go on the different side of the internet. That's anyway, we have a comment on TikTok. Not about that. It's about Wicked. Big surprise. Everybody loves Wicked. It is from someone named Kiwi. Shout out to Kiwi. And Kiwi says, No Place Like Home was a fantastic addition to the movie and my favorite new song, No Good Deed, album recording, not including Ariana's Fiero, was a choice. I don't know anything about the album recording. I cannot comment.
On the album recording, well, actually, and in the Broadway show, Elphaba also shouts Fiero. It's like a transition. It starts off with Glinda shouting Fiero, and then I think it transitions into.
Do they not do
Elphaba.
That in the movie?
No, they just do Glinda's Fiero, and then we go straight.
I like Elphaba's.
Elphaba's is cool. However, this movie does such a good job that I'm like, I'm mad at it. Like, right. Cynthia Erivo is singing the mess out of that song. Like, I have applauded twice when I have seen it in theaters. Like, that is my favorite song, probably, from the second movie. But I do understand people's disappointment, because I also was anticipating it. But I'm cool with it. They also don't do the transition from I'm Not That Girl reprise straight into As Long As You're Mine.
Right.
You can't. It's a movie.
I mean, you can't.
I know. We have to extend. Yeah.
It's
we have
so
to
good,
give
though.
Time for things to do things. But yes, No Place Like Home, I enjoyed. Here's the thing.
That's one of the new ones?
It is. And I would probably enjoy listening to Cynthia Erivo singing The Phone Book. So
true. I could see that.
That woman could sing anything and I'd be like, yep, that was a great, fantastic vocal performance. Loved that.
Yeah, shout out to Kiwi.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, we've got some comments from YouTube 11 days ago on our Mighty Nein short. From Scat Hatch, I believe is what this says.
Okay.
Scat Hatch _. It says, I actually like this show a lot more than Vox Machina. Vox Machina is a bit too unserious for me at times.
Okay.
Which is fair. Everybody's got their own thing. I love Vox Machina. I do think I might like Mighty Nein more than Vox Machina, but that seems to be the like consensus among people who actually watch the campaigns as well, is that most people seem to like Mighty Nein more than Vox Machina in general. Okay. And that seems to be crossing over into the television show as well. But yeah, I see what you mean by Vox Machina being a little bit, I wouldn't say it's too unserious, but I do understand, like, yes, it's a little bit more unserious than what Mighty Nein has been so far as a show. Mighty Nein definitely feels a lot more dramatic, a lot darker, even though it does still have that same humor. It definitely isn't pulling from humor as often as Vox Machina does.
Okay.
Which is why I said it's like, they're made from the same cloth, but they are cut differently.
Right.
So.
Good way to put it.
I think this is Jalen Poe, 5524, on one of our Wicked shorts. Says, you talking about that Oz dust scene in part one, or is there something else I don't know about? And then there's like three emojis behind it. This is on the short that was about the best songs from Wicked for good. And I don't know what I said in that one. I'm not quite certain what they mean. I did talk about, I have sobbed twice in a movie theater, and one of them was during Wicked for Good, and the other time was for Wakanda Forever.
Right.
But yeah, mostly in that one, I was talking about just like which songs are the best songs in part two or in Wicked for Good.
Yeah.
But I do love the Asta scene in the first movie. I think I did almost cry at that scene the first time I saw it. Because I like what they did with it. I think that they made it a lot more dramatic in the movie than they did in the play. The play kind of plays it a little bit humorously. And the movie does not at all.
This is the scene where Elphaba shows up wearing the hat and then she starts pop locking and Ariana does it with her.
Yeah.
Got it.
And that's exactly why the play can play it humorously, is because of the way that Dallas just explained that.
Yes, that is how I interpreted it.
That is how, yes. That's why the play can get away
with
that.
See, this is upsetting, because now when I watch that scene, I'm just going to hear Pop Lock and Drop It in my head. And it's...
Drop It.
Which is funny, because it's a silent scene outside.
It
of...
is. No music.
Yeah, there is no music.
Sounds like
very
we need some non-diegetic
music. Very easy for someone to
music.
Edit music into that. All right. I don't know why I didn't see those comments, but shout out to Demi catching the comments. That is everything. Short one today. So thanks for listening to our short, mysterious episode. Y'all some real ones.
No one died. It wasn't deadly.
Nope, not yet. Thank you, Crown Digital, Brandon, and I for putting us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Demi, thank you for editing and putting us on YouTube and talking to me about Wake Up Dead Man.
Yay! You know I love me some Knives Out and Rian Johnson.
We love us some Knives Out and some Rian Johnson.
Director Ryans. They're the best ones.
Yeah, my favorite director is also a Ryan.
Ryan Coogler is also one of my favorites.
Shout out
hey,
Ryan
to me.
Coogler. We love you.
Change your name to Ryan so that I can have one.
Oh, thank you.
Hey. Cassie, thanks for coming through for the vibes. Yeah. As you do. It'd be like that.
Mm-hmm. Hope you enjoy Wake Up Dead Man.
I am sure I will. Yeah. I'm not as high on the movies as you two are, but like they're fun, you know, and that's really all I need them to be.
Yeah. I remember seeing the first one with you and you were like, that was ass. No, I'm assuming that's not what you said, but I know that we came out having different opinions on it. Because Kayla and I were like, that was so fun. Oh my God, that's good. Cassie was like, trash.
She was Mario in that new Super Mario Galaxy exactly. trailer.
It's trash. I'm just kidding, Ryan Johnson. If you hear that, Cassie did not say your movie was trash. As always, audience, Ryan Johnson, Ryan Coogler, whoever's listening, you can reach us in the comments. You can hit us on Instagram and Tumblr at Creative Differences Podcast, Facebook.com/Creative Differences PC, and TikTok at Creative Differences Pod. If you want to talk to me about Wake Up Dead Man and other things, whatever you feel like talking about, you can find me on Instagram or Letterboxd at A King Named Simba.
You know what? I don't know. Just tell me what's making you happy right now. I'm trying to feel some joy. You can find me on Blue Sky at Sassy Soothsayer.
Hey, guys. You guys can find me on Letterboxd at Demi Joie. Joie is spelled J-O-I-E. As I said, this might be our last episode for 2025 because we are starting off 2026 with a bang, as we always do, and that requires a lot of planning, requires a lot of time, which means that we don't have much time to record other episodes, on top of the fact that, like I said, it is now Christmas time, and you know, we got people and friends and family that we want to spend our time with, so we are probably going to be taking a bit of a break, even though there are still some big movies coming out this year. But if they make our top 10 favorite movies of the year, you guys will hear about them at the beginning of next year. So yeah, I guess next time you hear from us, it'll be our favorite movies of 2025, and then it'll be our favorite TV shows of 2025, and then our favorite music or favorite actors, and then it'll be our favorite music artists of 2025, and then you guys will hear our most anticipated movies of 2026. Looking forward to breaking down the year with you guys. It's kind of like our own little Spotify Unwrapped.
Yeah, Creative Differences Unwrapped. I like that. Unwrapped. Yeah, I don't know. I don't have Spotify anymore, but.
I have Apple Music Replay, yeah. So
like I think it's called Recap on YouTube Music, but Spotify is the most popular one. So whatever they call it, that. Anyway, happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Happy Kwanzaa.
Happy Hanukkah.
Hanukkah. All of them.
Happy Solstice.
Yep. I don't know where you can find Gabby. If you find Gabby, let us know where y'all please. Found her. It's been different. Happy New Year. Happy holidays. Bye.
Bye.
Cassie.
Yeah.
If you could get any fictional character to solve my murder when Demi kills me, who are you getting for the job?
Any fictional character?
Yeah, detective, cop, just a homie. Any fictional character to solve the case.
Ooh, to solve your murder specifically.
At the hands of Demi, yes.
It's not at my hands.
I'm going to say Rosa Diaz because she got hands. I think we're going to need
Interesting.
That.
Interesting. Okay.
So I also want to throw in, I would hire Bo from the Mighty Nein, and I would hope that she finds me.
Actually, you know what? Different answer.
Oh, what we got?
Steve from Blue's Clues.
Hey, the clues are coming in. I like that. I think they're gonna find my killer.